Exodus chapter 14. If you found your place, would you stand with me, please, in honor of God's word tonight? In Exodus chapter 14, in verses 15, 16, 17, 18 tonight. And the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." If you have a pen, would you just underline that phrase, "go forward"? I like that thought, "go forward." And then he says, "But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen." Our Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, we thank you for your wonderful grace and your mercy to us. And Lord, we do thank you for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that we've heard sing about tonight. And God, I pray that you would bless, please. I ask, Lord, I need your help. And I've thought about the message all day, as you know. I've pondered, and Lord, I just want to be a blessing tonight. I want to be an encouragement. Lord, there's probably someone under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord, that could be ready to give up. God, don't let them give up. Yeah. Please don't let them quit. Lord, may we take the admonishment tonight from our Lord. Go forward. And so, Lord, tonight, please help us. I also ask, Lord, tonight, by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and upon the power of your blessed death, burial, and resurrection, I ask that you bind Satan and every demon of hell that would war against this service tonight, against our lives, against the preaching of your word. God, give liberty, I pray, and I beg you, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Moses was led of the children of Israel out of Egypt, as you well know. This is a common Bible story. I've often said that I've been asked several times over the years, if there was a Bible story that you could somehow replay back in heaven that God would allow us, I have to say that one of my top five would be this right here. Something about the Red Sea being split wide open and the Holy Ghost of God moving down in the midst of it upon dry ground. And that would be a great thing to see. Charlton Heston really didn't do it favor, all that, if you understand what I mean. And but God bless him anyway. But Moses was led to the the children of Israel out of Egypt, and now we find them encamped at the Red Sea, waiting for the Lord's direction here. And Pharaoh is in pursuit of them and seeking to destroy them, and he has an intense hatred for Moses. I mean, he had a hardness of his heart, and he hated Moses. He thought about that thing for a while, about letting Moses go. And he says, "You know what? I'm gonna go down there, and I'm just gonna kill Moses. I'm just gonna kill them all, and I'm just gonna put them all out of their misery." And so here's Pharaoh. He gets all of his people together. He gets all of his horsemen, his chariots, his footmen. And he gets all of their soldiers together, and here they go. And can you imagine, as they're camping out, as the children of Israel are camping out amongst the Red Sea and enjoying and singing the songs of praise unto God because they've been delivered. That's a picture of salvation. And it's a wonderful thing. And the Red Sea is a picture of the baptism after salvation. And so here they all are. They're enjoying it. But just as soon as there's a victory, here comes the battle. Here comes the battle. Have you ever been way up here, and then the very next day find yourself way down here? Have you ever been way up here, and boy, you've been on cloud of 199, and boy, you've been through some struggles and battles and stuff in your life, and then God gave you a great victory, and you think, man, this is it. I'm at a utopia in my life. And then a couple days later, here comes Pharaoh. Here comes Pharaoh. And as the children of Israel they would see a Pharaoh approaching, fear begins to grip their hearts, and it's now they begin to question whether or not they should have followed Moses. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 and 12, through 10 and 12, he says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Now let me just give you what they said here, just very quickly. They're simply saying, "We need to go back home. We need to go back. Moses, you don't understand. We were a lot better off back there than we were right here. We enjoyed the trip, and we enjoyed all the blessings. And we got down here, and we're stuck, and we don't know where to go. And here they come. He's coming after us. And Moses, it wouldn't be better off. At least back then, we had a house to live in, and we don't even have a tent. At least we had 3 square meals, and now we got a fish. And at least we were taken care of. We had Obamacare, and at least, now we're out here, now we got to work." Amen. And so here they come, and this is great smoke and all of this back there. And man, there's a fear. I can only imagine as one of the wives said to her husband, "I told you you shouldn't have listened to him, and we would have been better off back there." And then little Susie and little Joey, and I know those aren't Jewish names, but regardless of that, we're gonna die right here. And look at that, look at the power of Pharaoh. And then something happens. God came on the scene. I like it when God comes on the scene. And God comes, and man, he stands between the Jews and Pharaoh. I like one portion of the scripture. The Bible says that he looked through the cloud. God keeping his eye upon his people all the time. All the time. And then God steps in here in the picture, and in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, God speaks with Moses, and he tells Moses, he says, I want you to give the counsel to the children of Israel. This is what I want you to tell them to do. He says, I don't want them to go backward. I don't want them to go sideways. I don't want them to stand still. I want them to go forward. I don't want them to go back. They've come too far to go back. Can I tell you, so how many have been saved more than 5 years? How many have been through some battles in your life? How many of you got some scars in your life? Can I tell you something? You've come too far to go back. You've come too far in your life to go back. Hey, young couple, you've come too far to go back in the world. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, you've come too far in the battles of life to give up and go back and let your grandchildren and your children see defeat. They got to continue to see victory. Hey, go forward. Don't go backwards. Don't go backwards. Go forward. I'm reminded of the famous aerialist Carl Wallenda and his family, known as the Flying Wallendas. How many know the name I'm talking about? All right. Several years ago, the Wallendas were performing with the Ringling Brothers Circus. In one of the towns in which they were performing, the local weather reporter asked Mr. Wallenda, or the patriarch of the family, "May I give the weather report on the high wire?" Carl agreed, and the reporter hurriedly took note on how he would step out and balance to give the weather report, and then his idea was to quickly step back as the television station broke for the commercial. Well, at the time of the moment of reporting, the reporter stepped out with Mr. Wallenda behind him, and he gave a quick report. "Tomorrow the weather will be overcast, high 82 degrees, low of 73. And then all of a sudden there was a commercial break, and the reporter was so concerned about being famous, about being out on the wire, he didn't make plans. He didn't realize that he couldn't go back, that he had to continue to go forward. I read this, and he was unaware of his predicament, and He looked at Mr. Wallenda, Mr. Wallenda, and he says, "Now, what do I do? Do I my left foot back or my right foot back first?" And he said, "Son, step forward. I'll be right behind you, and we'll make it to the other side." The reporter tried to convince Carl that it was better to go back than to go forward. Carl said, "Son, I have walked the tightrope all my life, and you don't want to step back. You've got 33 steps in front of you." He says, "Believe me, it is safer to take 33 steps forward than the one step back. Don't be afraid. I'll be right behind you." Now, let me tell you something. I know that it seems like it's a long way to the other side, but it's easier and better to take 33 steps forward where at least you know where you're going than walking back and you have no idea where you're going. And so the principle is especially true here in our Christian life. Walk with our Lord Jesus Christ no matter where He leads you. No matter what direction He has for you. No matter where you end up in life, stay and keep your eyes forward. Always go forward. It's always safer to walk forward in His will and to take one step than to take one step back. Don't get out of the plan of God for your life. Stay in the plan of God for your life. The children of Israel would later learn that going forward was best. Can you imagine that night? I try to picture that night as he took that, Moses took that staff and he raised it high and said the prayer and the words that he said, and then all the sudden, man, the Holy Ghost of God came and the walls came up. That water came up. And all through the night, the Holy Spirit of God moved upon there. And the Bible says at night, the next day they harnessed as they went on dry ground all the way to the other side. That was probably the best aquarium you've ever seen in your life. Can you imagine? I don't know. I don't know what they saw, but I don't even know what was in the Red Sea. But as they were walking, can you imagine that little boy, that little girl said, "Mama, look at that." And as maybe that big old fish or turtle or whatever it was, man, just follow them all the way to the other side, brother. All the way. That was the greatest walk of their life. And as they got to the other side, then you know the story. God moved, and here comes Pharaoh, and they fall. Can you imagine as Pharaoh saw that big old walls of water and such, and he just told them, "Hey, let's go, boys. Let's go get them." And they all got in there, and about halfway through there, here comes the water. And then they began to sing as they were, all the dead bodies and such were on the Red Sea, and as they were floating and such, and they began to sing the song of Moses. Psalm 90. You and I, as we walk this tightrope of life, you and I need to be reminded of some important principles that will help us to get safely to the other side. Can I give you three tonight? I want to hurry because I want to get out of the way. Number one, stay balanced. You've got to stay balanced. How many have ever seen a tightrope walker? If you've ever noticed, many of them, most of them have a pole. And they carry them like this. And the issue is for the purpose of balance. And we find that if he ever loses his balance, it's because he's not hung onto the pole. And the pole gives the balance needed for his life. And without that, he could really be in deep trouble. You know, danger awaits a tightrope walker who dares to walk without a pole or something to keep him balanced. And one of the greatest, have you ever got behind a church when your preacher gets up and on a Sunday morning or Sunday night, Wednesday night, and he gets up and you hear him say, "Hey, church, you got to be faithful." He thunders out old Dr. Robertson's word, "Three to thrive." Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three to thrive. Be faithful to church and pray and tithe and go soul winning and get in the bus ministry. Get involved in the Sunday school and get on your knees. Be here for prayer time. And you say, we hear that all the time. I know you hear that because I say it. And I'm just saying to you, the reason why is because Your preacher wants to keep you balanced. Wants to keep you balanced. These help us keep us balanced in our life. You know, if a person spends a great amount of time in Bible study and yet neglects his prayer life and his moral discipline, he'll become an imbalanced person. Soon they'll fall in immorality and maybe heresy or both. I've learned over the years, 31 years of ministry, I've learned this. Good people get out of church not necessarily because of sin, but because of an imbalance in their life. An imbalance brings forth sin. They never thought about it. No one ever comes to church and says, I've never met one person, never one time, and I don't believe your pastor has either. I've never met one time. You never met with somebody and says, you know what, I just pondered this thing, and I think I'll start living the backslidden life today. No one ever does that. No one ever wakes up in the morning and say, hey, today's a good day to fall into sin, to be not right with God, and to start doing the things I used to. No, that's always things that kind of creep back into our life, because what happens is we become imbalanced. Imbalanced in our life. The Bible without the Spirit becomes extremely lethal. An imbalanced life leads to sin and soon leads to destruction. A balanced person will stay straight. Stay straight. A balanced person will receive the corrective message from their preacher under the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Did you know that a balanced person will never fall? Well, I just got a hold of you some there. But go to 2 Peter chapter 1 with me, real quickly, please. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I'd like for you to notice, if you would, allow me just to read a few verses. And the Bible says, he says in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then he says to add this, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If these things be in you, that means they live in you, that means they abide in you. He says, and abound. That means they're overflowing. That means they're continually working in your life. That they make you, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, may I say it this way, he that becomes lacketh these things, they become imbalanced in their life. Don't miss this. And he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall what? Say it with me. Shall never fall. Amen. Nobody ever falls on purpose. People fall because they're imbalanced. An imbalanced life. Whatever you do, learn to be balanced. Learn to be balanced in your Bible reading, in your prayer time, in your personal. Listen, don't miss this. You can actually read your Bible and pray, but if you don't serve, you're imbalanced. You can be a great soul winner because the Bible says that it's the Word of God that saves, not the soul winner that saves. And it's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction, not the soul winner that brings conviction. You can win a person to Christ and be an imbalanced Christian. You can be Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and be an imbalanced Christian. You can sing specials and be an imbalanced Christian. By the way, I can be a pastor, a preacher of the Word of God, and be an imbalanced preacher. The Bible says in Job said in 31:6, he says, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. To have a right balance in my life. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, he says, but a just weight is his delight. A just weight and a balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His. Marital problems come because of a false balance. Moral issues come because of a false balance. Good people drop out of church because of a false balance. I didn't say bad people, I said good people. Some of the best people I've ever pastored in all the world have dropped out of church over the years, and they're still good people to this day. They're just imbalanced, which led to them where they are today. Oh, by the way, church problems comes because of imbalanced Christians. Imbalanced. And so the first thing that we need to do tonight, if we're going to stay forward and stay straight and not go back, we've got to stay balanced in our Christian life. Let me give you the second thing quickly tonight. We need to stay relaxed. Now listen, some of our people in our church are just way too uptight. Now think about this. Here they are at the Red Sea. They believe that God brought them out. They saw God work. They saw the movement of God. They witnessed all the plagues, and they witnessed the death angel coming, and they witnessed all the things that God did, and they witnessed as they went harnessed out of Egypt, and they witnessed the blessings of God as they began to give them the gold and all the things that the Egyptians gave them. God gave them favor to them, and the Jews took all that in, and they were rejoicing over all that God was doing. And then they got down to the Red Sea, and man, they were just kicking back by the fire, enjoying a good time. But then came Pharaoh, and they got uptight. All of a sudden, their summer vacation was no longer a summer vacation. And all of a sudden, now they got all uptight in their life. And being uptight can cause havoc on the tightrope. I read this. Relaxation frees the muscles up to the maximum use, and we do what needs to be done with greater agility because our muscles are relaxed. So often in the work of the Lord, in the Christian life, we get tensed up to the point, don't miss this, to the point that we think we're the ones who have to bring forth the fruit. If I read my, and I, boy, I was talking to your preacher on the platform tonight, and boy, your fall program, and boy, I just love to hear the good news, and boy, your pastor texted me last Sunday night about the precious souls that were saved last Sunday and walked the aisle. Man, I was rejoicing with him. I got jealous. I texted him back and said, wonderful news. Thank you for sharing. But really what I was thinking was, you ding dong, I wish that was me. No. I was rejoicing over that. But I got news for you. Sometimes we get pressured in our own Christian life. Is that, now please don't get me wrong. I think you ought to please your preacher, but you don't serve to please your preacher. You serve to please God. And if you're going to live your whole life pleasing the church and pleasing the preacher and pleasing the deacons and your Sunday school teacher, you know what will happen? You'll get all tensed up. But when you live a life just that pleases God, then there's freedom in that. And there's relaxation in that. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. A rest. Zechariah said, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, nor by my but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We don't serve God out of a fleshly power. We serve God out of a spiritual power. Can I say to you, just stay relaxed and rest in the Lord in your life. I don't have time to develop all this tonight, but just relax and rest in the Lord. There's nothing will give you more peace in your life than just resting in the Lord and understanding that God has it all under control. If I remember right, it's His job to build the church. My job is just to be the conduit. My job is just to be the servant. And the results of everything is all left up to God. Just let God handle it. Just let God. God can pastor a church and build a church much greater than you and I could ever. Just relax. Rest in the Lord. Hey, Sunday school teacher, rest in the Lord. Hey, bus worker, rest in the Lord. Hey, school teacher, kill some kids. I mean, rest in the Lord. And just rest in the Lord. Just rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Stay relaxed and let God do His work. Years ago, how many remember the name Harold Sattler? Remember the name Dr. Harold Sattler? The last time that the Sword of the Lord conference was at Bob Jones University, that was back in the 80s, I went there that particular time. The only time I've actually been on campus, but I went there. And I figured if I was going to get close enough at that time in my life, that I was going to see if I could meet Dr. Harold Sattler. I'm in my 20s. And so I call the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina, set up an appointment with Dr. Sattler, went to his church. His office was down in the basement of the church. It was just a plain Jane type of a, nothing spectacular. There was nothing flamboyant about him anyway. That was the type of guy that he was. What you saw is what you got. And finally, we're sitting in his office, and he looks at me and says, "Young man, are you hungry?" I said, "Well, yeah, sort of, kind of. I haven't ate today." He says, "Come on, let's go get some lunch." And so we get in his car, and we go down to the area restaurant. He buys me a bowl of beans and some cornbread. And we got talking all that. We just got some wonderful fellowship, got a lot of good stuff from him. And then we went back to the church, and he had prayer with me. I said, "Dr. Sattler, can you do me a favor?" He said, "What was that?" In his old gruffly voice. And I said, "Could you give this young preacher some good advice before I leave? You already give me a bunch of advice, but can you give me some good advice?" And I wrote it down in the flyleaf of my Bible. Here's what he said. He's sitting at his desk, and he held up his Bible, and he said, "Son, stick with the book." He said, "Stick with the book." And then he looked at me and he said, "Stay with your own kind." He said, "Are you an independent Baptist?" I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Don't be hanging around with anybody else." He says, "You stick with your own kind." And then he got a real serious look on his face. And he went over his desk and he pointed at me and he said, "But let me give you the best advice I can give you." He said, "Stay out of God's way." I have never forgotten that. That's pretty good advice. And so that goes on. Just let God do His work. Let God build it. Let God do it. Just stay relaxed and let God work through you. So then after that he had heard the spoken of them, he was received up into heaven, the Bible says, and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. It's a good, boy, I tell you what, when you go soul winning, you got the greatest partner you'll ever have. When you teach a Sunday school class, you got the greatest partner you'll ever have. When we preach, we got the greatest partner we'll ever have. When we pray, we've got the greatest partner we ever have. Just stay relaxed. It all belongs to God. Hey. If God can't take care of it, we might as well move on anyway. Hey. Amen. Amen. Let me give you the last thing and I'll be done. Stay focused. Stay focused. You see, that was the children of Israel's problem. Many times they just didn't stay focused in their life. That's why they went through so many problems. Can I say to you, that's probably why most of us go through the problems that we go through most every day of our life, is because we don't stay focused on that which is important. And it's easy, I understand, it's easy to get, more problems come, the financial issues, the jobs, the health, and all the things. I know it's so easy to get, that these things bombard us, but it's even more important at that point in our life that we stay focused. Carl Wallenda fell to his death in 1978 while crossing a 75-foot wire in downtown San Juan, Puerto Rico. Mrs. Wallenda recalled regarding her husband, she said this, "All Carl thought about for 3 straight months prior to his falling was that it was the first time he'd ever thought about that, and it seemed to me that he put all of his energies into not falling rather than walking the tightrope." All right, did you catch that? Let me give you another little example. A pilot will tell you, and I've got 2 pilots in my church, whenever you go through turbulence and trouble in the air, the most important thing to never forget don't forget to fly the plane. Now that sounds so simple, but it's so true. It's not the gadgets, it's don't forget to fly the plane. In 1968, 10 years before Carl's fall, he said this, "Walking on the tightrope is living. Everything else is just waiting." 33 steps back, forward, is much better than 2 or 3 steps backwards. Focus on Christ. Keep your focus on Him. He's your peace. He's your salvation. He's our hope. He's our supply. He's our stability. He's our victory. Hey, listen, whatever you do, go forward. Just go forward. Stay balanced. Stay relaxed. Stay focused.